Today's audiocast from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. New rules governing what is broadly known as air tours are easier than expected on commercial operators and tougher than expected on so-called charity flights. The final form of the air tour rule released Friday is quite a bit different from the notice of proposed rulemaking that was released almost 3 years ago. Among the biggest changes for commercial operators was the continuation of the so-called 25-mile rule, which allows Part 91 operators to offer sightseeing trips as long as they begin and end at the same airport and don't extend further than 25 miles from that airport. There's more paperwork ahead for all commercial operators, tougher rules on life preservers and helicopter floats, but existing operators should have no worries. The biggest changes appear to be in the rules governing fundraising and other not-for-profit flights. Under the final rule, private pilots can continue to fly a limited number of charity flights each year, but they must have at least 500 hours instead of the current 200. Air Care Alliance, which represents organizations that use volunteer pilots to get people to medical appointments or other special circumstances, was pleased with the rule on its initial reading. EAA is also digesting the 107-page document, but it likely has some concerns, especially the section that outlaws experimental aircraft from taking part in charity flights. AOPA says it's learned that two groups are vying for the assets of Symphony Aircraft. On Friday, the Pilot Association said a French-Canadian group and a group of U.S. investors are both hoping to carry on production of the two-place composite aircraft. AvWeb contacted the office of the bankruptcy trustee, but he was away from his office. According to AOPA, neither former CEO Paul Costanzo nor the still-unnamed lead investor, whose withdrawal from the operation led to the bankruptcy, are involved with either of the investment groups. More details on the bids are expected after a meeting of the creditors on February 24th. Symphony was declared bankrupt in late January, about 8 months after entering creditor protection. Well, it's official. The new Honda Jet will be built in the United States. Details after this from Bose.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
On Friday, Honda Aircraft fulfilled a promise to build the Honda Jet in the U.S. by announcing plans to establish its world headquarters and aircraft manufacturing plant in Greensboro, North Carolina. Aircraft Division President and CEO Mishimasa Fujino said his company will invest $60 million for the new 215,000-square-foot headquarters facility and hangar at Piedmont Triad International Airport and a further unspecified dollar amount for an adjacent manufacturing plant. Honda's new home will be furnished in November, and the company promised more details about the production facility size, scope of operations, and construction timetable at a later date. Honda plans to begin delivery of Honda jets to its customers in 2010 and has orders for more than 100 of the very light jets. According to the Chicago Tribune, the air traffic controller on duty at the time of a mid-air collision near Chicago in February 2000 admitted in court last week that he didn't know precisely where the two crash airplanes were when he was directing them on approach at Waukegan Airport. Waukegan didn't have radar at the time of the crash, which killed local radio celebrity Bob Collins, his passenger Herman Lusher, and student pilot Sharon Hawk in the other airplane. Controller Gregory Fowler told the court he should have asked for more precise position reports from both pilots before clearing Collins to land behind Hawk. Collins' Zlin Z-242 hit Hawk's Cessna 172 from behind, and both aircraft crashed immediately. In other testimony, a former FAA employee who was hired by Collins' widow as an expert witness told the court that Waukegan should have been equipped with radar. Radar was installed at Waukegan 5 months after the crash. The FAA says air traffic control staffing levels are actually better than they are portrayed in the latest FAA Administrator's Fact Book, but the National Air Traffic Controllers Association maintains the agency remains far behind in keeping the consoles occupied. An FAA spokesman claims that figures in the Fact Book showing a net decline of almost 500 controllers in the past 3 years are wrong. He says it's actually about 300. In the meantime, according to NATCA, senior controllers are leaving at the rate of about 3 a day, many of them members of the retirement bubble that will create a mass exodus of controllers over the next 10 years. And while the FAA insists that it has the staffing situation under control, NATCA disagrees. The union says the figures show the agency isn't able to keep up with vacated positions and that the problem will only get worse. Now you are able to get the latest general aviation news from AvWeb as it happens. The same concise, comprehensive news stories you've come to expect from AvWeb, along with brain teasers, video of the week, picture of the week, and of course the Pilot's Lounge, and it's all absolutely free at www.avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com, and this report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Visit bose.com/headset. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, February 16th. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Thanks for listening.